This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Governor-elect Chris Sununu is poised to oversee quite a few high-profile nominations during his first year in office, and that's one of the few areas where he'll have an ability to shape state policy through the people he chooses to fill those posts. NHPR's Casey McDermott is here to give us an overview of some of the open positions to keep an eye on and some of the issues that could be influenced as a result. Good afternoon, Casey.
Good afternoon, Peter.
So, Casey, the New Hampshire governor doesn't get his own cabinet. How do the nominations work?
So the terms for a lot of major posts in New Hampshire state government, like department commissioners, Supreme Court justices, don't always line up with the terms of governors. So Sununu, unlike, say, President-elect Donald Trump, inherits a lot of officials from past administrations when he takes office. That said, there are a few high-profile officials who've signaled plans to step aside or whose terms are scheduled to run out otherwise. And in those cases, Sununu will be able to nominate new people who, in many cases, will then have to be approved by the Executive Council.
And where do we know to look for nominations?
Across the board, there are dozens of positions that will need to be filled. A few open seats that are really worth paying close attention to, because the people nominated to fill them could be influential on some really high-profile issues in the years ahead, are around the areas of environmental policy, education policy, and the law.
Let's start with environmental policy. What's on the table there?
Tom Burak, who led the Department of Environmental Services for more than a decade, announced plans to step down last year from his role. His last day officially was January 2nd, and now the assistant commissioner is temporarily serving as the acting commissioner until Sununu appoints a new one. That department has been the main agency overseeing the state's response to water contamination incidents like the PFOA outbreak in southern New Hampshire. And water quality issues in general will require a lot of attention from whoever's in charge next. There's also an open question of how the state it's going to use the millions of dollars it received as part of a major lawsuit settlement with Exxon over MTBE contamination. That money is specifically meant to go toward water quality issues, but deciding exactly how to make use of the windfall will be a big item on the next commissioner's to-do list. And then finally, on a broader level, Burak, the outgoing commissioner, was pretty active in trying to map out policies to address climate change at the state level. He led the charge on a New Hampshire climate action plan a few years ago and has been a proponent of programs like the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which are designed to encourage more renewable energy sources.
So depending on the kind of DES commissioner Sununu chooses, that could change.
Right. Sununu in the campaign signaled that he'd be open to having New Hampshire leave the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, but he also said there's too much regulation that, quote, pushes down on businesses. So it'll be worth paying attention to whether his pick for DES reflects this kind of philosophy, too.
You also mentioned education. What kind of turnovers on deck there?
So Education Commissioner Virginia Berry's term was already on track to be up in March, but she just announced within the last week that she's going to step aside at the end of this month. And then there are a few slots opening up in the next 2 years on the Board of Education. Two members, including the current board chairman, Tom Raffio, will need to be reapproved this month, too. It's unclear whether Sununu plans to renominate any of the existing commissioners when they're up for renewal. And at one point during his gubernatorial campaign, he even talked about wanting to gut the entire Board of Education. He doesn't have the power to force out the entire board before their terms are up, but that does at least suggest that he might not be eager to reappoint the people whose terms are up for renewal.
What kind of power does the board have, and why would it be important?
So the board doesn't necessarily set policy, but it deals with a lot of rulemaking and decisions around how to implement the policies set by the legislature. For the last few years, they've been overseeing a lot of big initiatives around, for example, testing and accountability. There's a big pilot that's meant to move away from traditional standardized testing. It's voluntary, and it allows local school districts to come up with their own ways of measuring how students are learning. Sununu's team told the Associated Press recently that he supports that program, but he also spent a lot of time on the campaign trail complaining about the amount of testing he saw in his own kids' schools. So it's going to be worth watching if and how he does try to cut back on any of the existing tests that are administered.
But there's lots of other stuff going on in the educational world, too.
Right. Debates around charter schools and school choice in general, a looming shortage of administrators and teachers, especially in math and science, declining enrollment, the seemingly never-ending battle over school funding. It's safe to say the new education commissioner and the board, regardless of who's sitting on it, will have their hands full these next few years.
And finally, you mentioned the legal arena as another area to watch.
Yep. So the big one, which is coming up pretty quickly, is the nomination of a new attorney general. Joe Foster, a Democrat, was appointed by Governor Maggie Hassan, and his term ends in March. It's pretty much assumed at this point that Sununu will want to pick his own moving forward. And the person in that role could have a lot or a little influence, depending on how active he or she decides to be, in defending existing laws that are challenged or, for example, getting involved in lawsuits against the federal government or big companies. One place where we saw this under Attorney General Foster's tenure was the state getting involved in a big lawsuit with pharmaceutical companies around opioid marketing, and that's still ongoing. As another example of how an AG could have a big influence, you could look at the area of election law. Sununu signaled that he wants to maybe tighten up who's allowed to vote in New Hampshire, and the new AG could play a role in defending any lawsuits that might be brought against the state, as they have been in the past when such changes were implemented. Or the AG could decide to be more aggressive in investigating election complaints, too, just to attempt to ferret out any cases of wrongful voting. And last but not least, Sununu will be in the rare position of nominating as many as 3 justices to the Supreme Court. One is set to retire this year, and 2 more, including the Chief Justice, are set to retire in 2018. That's not something that every governor gets to do, because once someone's on the court, they don't have a fixed term. They have to retire instead at age 70. And 3 open seats on a 5-member court leaves a lot of room for Sununu to really make an influence. There's a lot of possibilities for big changes all around, and we'll keep watching them closely.
All right, Casey. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's NHPR's Casey McDermott.